We're living through a strange paradox. We have more ways to connect than ever before. Slack channels, Zoom calls, instant messaging. Yet loneliness at work has become an epidemic, as deadly as smoking and twice as harmful as obesity. Walk into most offices and you'll find people physically present but emotionally absent, going through the motions while their spirits slowly wither. The culprit isn't technology itself, but how we've allowed efficiency to eclipse humanity. We've built organizations that treat people like interchangeable parts in a machine, forgetting that the most valuable assets in any company aren't listed on balance sheets. They're the human beings who show up each day, hoping their work matters and that someone will notice when they do something remarkable. What if the solution to our productivity problems, retention challenges, and innovation gaps isn't another software platform or management framework, but simply learning to see each other again? Think about the last time you felt truly energized at work. It probably wasn't during a performance review. It was when you understood how your efforts connected to something bigger. Only 39% of employees clearly see how their daily tasks link to organizational purpose, meaning 6 out of 10 work in the dark, unsure if what they're doing matters. Consider the groundskeeper at Bay State Health, publicly recognized by a physician for keeping the hospital spotless. Two worlds that rarely intersect, clinical medicine and facilities management, suddenly connected through gratitude, transforming how both saw their work. Purpose emerges when people trace a clear line from daily actions to meaningful outcomes. JetBlue distills their purpose to three words: to inspire humanity. Simple enough to remember, broad enough that everyone from pilots to baggage handlers finds themselves in it. When purpose becomes personal, work stops feeling like a transaction and starts feeling like a calling. A staggering 58% of employees never hear thanks from their boss, while 37% of managers actively avoid giving positive feedback. This silence breeds disengagement. Yet monthly recognition transforms outcomes. Performance improves, turnover drops by half, and engagement soars. At Eaton Corporation, employees recognized 4 times yearly left at half the rate of those receiving no recognition. Social recognition amplifies gratitude from private gesture to public celebration. When someone at LinkedIn receives a Bravo Award, recipients often become givers, creating a positive cycle. The neuroscience is compelling. Expressing gratitude releases dopamine and creates new neural pathways, improving performance, energy, and resilience. But giving recognition can be even more transformative than receiving it. When you publicly acknowledge someone's contribution, you make yourself vulnerable. You're saying, "I see you, and what you did matters." That authenticity builds bonds, satisfying our deep need for connection. Companies investing at least 1% of payroll in peer recognition generate triple the returns on assets compared to those that don't. Remember the annual performance review? That dreaded ritual where a year's worth of work gets reduced to a single number? Companies like Deloitte spent 2 million hours annually on these exercises, time that could have been spent actually improving performance. The fundamental flaw isn't just inefficiency, it's the backward focus. Traditional reviews obsessed over past performance to justify compensation decisions, devoting maybe 80% of the conversation to what already happened and 20% to future development. The most progressive companies are flipping that ratio entirely. In today's agile environment, annual feedback arrives far too late to be useful. Work happens in projects with shifting teams and multiple leaders. Fast, frequent feedback, delivered while experiences are fresh, proves far more effective. This shift requires managers to evolve from commanders into coaches, having continuous conversations about goals and progress. Gallup research shows that employees who've had meaningful discussions with their manager about goals in the past 6 months are 2.8 times more likely to be engaged. Rene Caspar experienced an awakening during Bring Your Children to Work Day when she saw a conference room filled with beautifully diverse children, Black, Asian, Hispanic, white. Then reality hit. These were employees' children, not executives' children. Diversity fell off a cliff at the director level. Performance evaluations revealed men received 40% more exceeds expectations ratings, with language unconsciously diminishing people based on gender. This pattern repeats everywhere. Women receive more recognition awards than men, yet those awards carry 12% less monetary value. McKinsey research shows gender-diverse companies outperform peers by 15%, ethnically diverse firms by 35%, yet unconscious bias persists, invisible to those perpetrating it. Like orchestra judges who unknowingly favored male musicians by the sound of their footsteps, we all carry biases requiring conscious effort to overcome. The solution isn't just awareness, it's building systems that create teachable moments in real time, allowing people to recognize and correct bias before it causes harm. We've evolved from the industrial age of physical productivity through the knowledge era of mental work into today's cognitive era, where imagination, collaboration, and empathy are premium skills. Yet we often deploy administrative applications, systems that make old routines efficient but become tools of bureaucracy and control. Human applications work differently. They facilitate meaningful moments between people, building relationships and creating belonging. When Christina Hall, LinkedIn's CHRO, received recognition for her work on an acquisition, the award let her take her children to Disneyland. That single moment connected professional achievement to family joy in a way no performance review could. Cloud computing and AI now enable these applications at scale, capturing millions of recognition moments and revealing patterns invisible to traditional management. Natural language processing identifies hidden bias in real time, creating private opportunities to reconsider words before sending them. These aren't surveillance tools, they're mirrors, helping us see ourselves more clearly. The data doesn't replace human judgment, it enhances our ability to make decisions that honor people's dignity while driving business results. What do you do now? That's the question leaders ask after recognizing their organizations need to become more human. The answer begins with courage and consistent action. Kat Cole, working in Ethiopian villages, asked local leaders about their priorities. 4 times they answered water. That clarity inspired her question for teams. What is our water? What's the one thing we could do right now so everything else would get better on its own? For most organizations, the answer involves gratitude, recognition, and genuine human connection. These aren't soft concepts. They're the foundation of high performance. Southwest Airlines proved that organizations bound by love rather than fear create sustainable competitive advantage. When employees share meaningful mission, operate with financial transparency, work with minimal hierarchy, and feel all roles matter equally, they transform customer experience in ways competitors can't replicate. The movement toward human-centered work is an infinite game, only the ongoing choice to challenge obsolete behaviors. Millions across businesses, nonprofits, and schools are proving profitability and humanity aren't opposing forces, but complementary ones. Workplaces might be our best hope for building diverse communities united around shared purpose. The question isn't whether your organization will become more human, it's whether you'll lead that transformation or watch it happen around you. Your move.